see everyone this morning, and good to be back after being out. We are in the book of Revelation. Does anyone in here know where you are in Revelation? Think about what I just said now. Don't answer quickly. Does anyone in here know where they are in in the book of Revelation? Think about what I just said now. Well, I'll help all of you out. I'll help all of you out. I hope everyone in here today is in chapter 19. We've not got there yet, but I hope that's where you are. You'll see why I said that later. But we are looking at chapters 17 and 18. In Isaiah chapter 9, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read a verse and then I'm moving on. It says this, and I thought it was appropriate to start here because of the season. Now, I realize that in reality, no one knows when the Lord was born, but it's a day that we've set aside to honor that day as his birthday. Now, the world could care less. It's a holiday for them. It's a holy day for us. But there was a real birth on a real day in this world. And that's what we celebrate this time of year. And this is the reason why. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Aren't you glad for that? It's on his shoulder. He's got broad shoulders, folks. I guarantee you he can hold it up. He says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, if you can find a more wonderful name than Jesus, I don't know where you're going to find it. Not only for the name, but what the name represents. The Son of God. The Savior of the world. The Redeemer of man. The propitiation for our sins. The atonement for our sins. He was resurrected for our justification in the sight of God. He sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us every single second of every single day. And he's coming back for us. No wonder his name's wonderful. It's wonderful to us, isn't it? That's not wonderful to the world. Not wonderful at all. But they're going to soon find out just how wonderful it is. Counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That was who was in that manger. That's who the angels told the shepherds about. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. Well, you ought to be glad for that. I'll tell you what, if there wasn't a Savior in Bethlehem, bless God, we'd be in hell. We'd never see chapter 19, by the way. We'd be in 17 and 18. But because of that baby, because the Son of God was in that manger, you're not in 17 and 18. How you like that? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. You won't perish. I won't perish. Nor will anyone perish that is in his kingdom. In his government. In his presence. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. And to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now that'd be good enough right there, wouldn't it? If that was the end of that verse, there would be some question about it, wouldn't it? You might say, if that was the end of that verse, you might say, well, I hope that comes to pass. Boy, I'm really banking on that happening. Well, you can stop banking and you can stop hoping. Because the rest of the verse says, for the zeal, the power of the Lord will bring it to be. You know what saved you? The power of God saved you. You know what keeps you? The power of God keeps you. You know what makes it possible for you to be in heaven? Power of God. Everything about God makes everything that God promised true. Not one thing about you. Think about that. Not one thing about us will ever make that happen. But God makes it happen. The zeal of the Lord shall bring it about. Now, if you would, turn over to 1 John chapter 3. Now, everyone knows this verse. I don't even have to have you turn over there. Now, everyone knows that 1 John, it's like an examination. You take the exam. Now, why does anyone take an exam in school? Now, some of you, like me, you're so old you can't remember taking an exam in school. Some of you is young enough to remember, and maybe that's who will help us out here. But what? Now listen, I know that you ain't remembering, so you you calm down. Oh, I'm just kidding. Why do you take an exam in school? Huh? Well, that's sort of true. But it's really to see if you know anything. If you didn't learn it, you don't see, the exam is not to see if you learned. That's in the proof if you passed the exam. Because if you failed the exam, you didn't learn it, and you don't know it. So 1 John is about knowing. But you say, Tom, how do you know that? Well, it says so. It says these things are written that you may not learn, know. Listen, you better know who you know. And you better know that who you know knows you. Because it's more important that he knows you than you know him. Because, see, there's a lot of people that know about him that he don't know. You say, Tom, how do you know that? It's in the Bible. Don't ask where, she said. Well, I'll tell you where it's at. It's all through, Becky. It's all through. But it's specifically in Matthew chapter 7 where he says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never... Or it's over in the epistles where it says, having this sure foundation that God knoweth his own. So you better make sure that God knows you. Doesn't know about you, knows you. Now, there's no children in here, so I'm going to speak on an adult basis. When it says Adam knew Eve, we all know what that means, folks. That means there was a unity. Because she conceived and bare a son. When it says that God knows you, it means that there's a union there. It's not a knowledge of outside that you know about him. There's a union between you and God. He knows you, and you know him. Now, 1 John chapter 3 is inquiring here because I told you it's an exam, right? It's an exam to see if you are who you say you are. So if you ever want to know if you are who you say you are, take the exam. Read 1 John, the whole five chapters, and at the end of it, you'll know if he knows you and you know him. Because in the third chapter, it says this, love not the world. Now, are you going to let me teach this or do you want to teach it? You get so excited about it, don't you? She can't stand it. That's why I chose her as my assistant. She is so knowledgeable and she can't, I mean, it just blurts out. You're reading it, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, that's what it says, isn't it? Me and you will have this conversation. The love of God is not in him. Now, that word him there, ladies, covers you too, by the way. The Bible don't have sexism. That's a stupid world. That's a stupid world. This world don't like the way God set this thing up between man and woman. So that's their stupidism. Is that a word, stupidism? Well, it ought to be. It sounds good. It sounds good, doesn't it? The love of the Father. What do you think that's talking about? What do you think it means when it says the love of the Father is not in him or her? What do you think? For God so loved the world. Do you think that's the love it's talking about? Huh? No, it's talking about the second part of for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, the proof of God's love is his son. And the proof that God loves you is his son in you. Now, listen, he loves the whole world, right? But if you try to tell me that's the same love between me and God, who has accepted his son as my savior, and the world that rejects his son. If you try to tell me that's the same love, you'll never convince me. May I say that? You can talk to my mother, you say, till you're blue in the face. Won't happen. For the love of God, Christ's not in you. Listen, if you love the world, we all know what that means now, right? It's the same thing of knowing. If there is a union with you and the world, you're not unionized with God. Can't be. Why? Because God said so. It's not up for debate. It's his word. If you love the world, in other words, if that's all that consumes you, you say, Tom, what's this got to do with Revelation? Oh, you're going to find out. There's a madness to everything I do. But then it goes on farther. He talks about, for this is, what's it saying?
The will of God, even your
sanctification. No, the next verse in 1 John. You hadn't read it. Oh, I thought you was quoting me the next verse. It tells you what the love of the world is. First of all, it's the lust of the flesh. Second of all, it's the lust of the eye. And third of all, it's the pride of life. So what it's saying is, if those things are in you, Christ's not in you. You say, but Tom, can't Christians sort of nudge up real close to the world? Oh, you better believe it. We sure do. More than we ought to, folks. More than I ought to. You talk for yourself. More than I ought to, I nudge up too close to the world sometimes. But I can tell you what I don't do, bless God. I don't love it. Because every time I get nudged up too close, it's sort of like touching that stove. And you say, well, you stupid thing, didn't you learn the last time you touched that stove? Get away from it. Now, why do I do that? You say, but Tom, because you're such a good man. You're such a good person. No, because God lives inside me. And God says, well, I'll give this example. I'll give it again because most of you have already forgotten it. You have children, right? Do you remember when they were little bitty things? Now, they're not little bitty things now. No. They're trouble things now. No, I'm just teasing. Let's say, illustration purposes, hypothetical clearly. Let's say that you come out one day and your youngest one is out in the middle of the street playing and traffic is just going this way and that way and it's right in the middle of the traffic and just playing and having the best time. And you come out there and you say, honey, get out of that traffic. What's wrong with you? Get out of that road. No, I'm having fun. Well, okay, but you better get out of there because you're going to get run over and I'm going back in the house. Now, I see you shaking your head because then there's not a parent in here. There's not a non-parent in here that wouldn't run out there as fast as they could run because something they love so much is in danger. And you would grab that little one by the arm. Now, I can tell you what my mama would have done. I don't know what you would have done, but I can tell you what my mama would have done. My mama would not only grab me by the arm, she had about jerked it off. And as soon as she got me out of that street, she'd have wore me out. You say, Tom, she don't like you. Why, she loved me. She didn't want me out there where I'd get hurt. Well, folks, if that's true with my mother and father who was so fallible, how true is it with God who is infallible? You think he's going to leave his child out in the middle of the road? He's coming after you. Boy, when he gets you out of that road, he's going to let you know, too. Hey, you're nudging up too close, brother. You're going to get run over by that traffic. You get back out of that street. You say, Tom, you know that for sure. Had it more times than I can count since 1982. More times than I can count. When I'd known that the Holy Spirit grabbed me and whipped me because I was nudging too close to the world. Oh, I hated the world. Didn't want anything to do with the world. But this flesh that I live in. That's why Paul says, kill it every day. Kill it, kill it, kill it. Because it's going to nudge too close to the world. That's all it wants is the world. But notice what he says at the end of that. Isaiah, I'll tell you what he says. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now let me ask you something. Would you not say and agree with me that it is the height of stupidity to hang on to something that you know is going to pass away? To trust in something you know is not going to last. I say it's the height of stupidity. But did you know that the world does it every day? Every day the world trusts in the world, knowing that the world is going to pass away. All these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, everything you can think of or imagine is going to pass away. But they that do the will of God, ooh, boy. Now, if you don't see the difference there, one's passing away, and the other, it said, will abide forever. Well, what is the will of God then? Boy, if I could figure that out. If I could figure out what the will of God is, then I would know exactly how I can abide forever. And when I know exactly how I can abide forever, I would know how to get out of the world. I will tell you this. The only way out is to get in. The only way out is to get in. You say, Tom, that's a riddle. What do you think you're saying? The only way out is to get in. Come out from among them, he says. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out. But you can't get out unless you get in. You see, you can't just say, well, I want out. That don't get you out, right? But he that doeth the will of my Father, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know how to get out? You get in. For there is therefore now no condemnation. That means judgment. That means you're free, my friend. There is therefore now no condemnation to them, specifically them, not to everybody, but to them that are in Christ Jesus. The only way out is to get in. Let me ask you this. Noah's Ark. The only way out was to get in. That's why he left it open 7 extra days. The only way out was in. That's why he says over and over and over. And we ought to say it with such passion and such compassion and such urgency. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But you have to come to me. You can't come on your terms. You come on my terms and you get in. Now look, if you will, at Revelation 17:18. Now, we talked in 17:18 about... you mean I'm going to have to teach it again? Huh? 17 says that one of the seven angels that had the seven last plagues came out and said, come, and I will show you something, John. Come here, John, and I'm going to show you something, John. John, what did he want to show John? That's what it says. Come and I will show you the judgment of the great whore. And we talked about the bride and the whore, didn't we? And then we talked about, it comes on down there, and it starts to define who the beast is where the whore was riding. Now, we all know who the beast is, don't we? He's the Antichrist. But he's not just the Antichrist. He's the one behind the Antichrist. He's the dragon. He's Satan. He's the devil. He's your enemy. You know, if this world understood, Satan's not their friend. He's certainly not the friend of children of God. But he's not even the friend of those who are not children of God. They think he is. Well, no. He's as a roaring lion. Now, I tell you what. Go over to Africa, bless God. And go out there where the roaring lions are. And find one that's real hungry. And see if you're his friend. I'll tell you what you are. You're his meal. I don't care if he does look like your little kitten. Satan looked like your little kitten too. Till he devours you. You say, Tom, how do you know that? Well, first of all, because the Word of God says so. But second of all, because I've seen it. It's going to be tough on me, so you pray for me. I've seen it, Mom. I've seen my brother found with the needle in his arm, dead. Because Satan devoured him. So don't tell me, bless God, he won't. He will. And he'll laugh the whole time he's doing it. Because he's not your friend. And this world's going to find out he's not their friend either. But I'll tell you another thing. God's not your friend either if you don't know God. So in 17, you see the judgment of the great whore, the religion. And you remember the very last verse, it says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city where the kings reign. Well, may I tell you that it's not talking about a literal city. Although, listen, I don't know. I read commentators and I don't know. Maybe they're right. They're smarter than I am. Everybody's smarter than I am. But I just go by what I read. I don't know if Babylon's going to be rebuilt during the tribulation. I don't know. Maybe. But I can tell you of a certainty of what Babylon represents. And it's not God's city. Remember, I took you back to Babel where they said, let us, let us, let us, let us. I can tell you that's the city of Satan. And that's the city of Satan's kingdom. And that's the city where most of the citizens of this world are in. Oh, I knew I could get you. I knew I could get you. I knew I could. Not most, bless God, all. Everyone that's not in God's city is in Satan's city. You're a citizen of Satan's city. You are a member of his religion. The Bible says if you don't worship God, you worship Satan. There's no middle ground. There's nothing in between. It's either Satan or it's God. It's that simple. And so that 17 covers that religion. And it's not just talking about Catholicism. It's talking about Protestantism. It's talking about Judaism. It's talking about Hinduism. It's talking about Buddhism. It's talking about humanism. It's talking about anyism. That's not of God. You know, I told you one time, and I don't say this. I don't say this in any judgmental way. God knows my heart. I don't judge anyone, folks. Hey, judge not, you be not judged. Not my place to judge anybody. I'll give you the word. The word will judge you, and God will judge you. Not me. But I never will forget one time when I was in the Marine Corps. And it's right, no, I wasn't in the Marine Corps. Where was I? Oh, I was down in Florida. That's where it was. Right after I got saved. That's where it was. And that's all coming back to me, brother. It's just so clear now. I can see clearly now. Now, and I never will forget, I had to have this root canal. Okay. Don't ever have a root canal. Tell them knock it out, pull it out. Oh, God, do anything but have that root canal. Unless they give you the gas. Now, once they give you the gas, you're okay. So I said, son, put the mask on and pour it on. Out there I went. So anyway, I'm going to have this root canal. And I just got saved. And boy, listen, I'm telling everybody about Jesus. You know, y'all, when you get saved, bless God, you're telling about Jesus. I'm still telling everybody about Jesus, by the way. Since 1982, that's a long time. What is that, 82, 80, 36 years. Been telling people about Jesus. But anyway, I'm here in this church, and here's the dentist. Now, probably you shouldn't testify to a dentist when he's getting ready to do a root canal on you. But I didn't care. I said, son, do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? He looked sort of inquisitively at me. He said, oh, I don't need to be born again. I was born into the Catholic Church when I was a baby. They baptized me into the Catholic Church when I was a baby. I said, well, have you been born again, though? Oh, I don't need to be born again. I was born into the Catholic Church. I said, well, you better read John again. Because John says, you must be born again. I did my best. But he was not going to listen because he'd been born into the Catholic Church. See, they believe that if you bring a little baby in, and they'll answer for what they answer for, I'll answer for what I answer for. But they believe if you bring your little baby in and the priest baptizes the little baby's in. Because they believe that baptism gives that baby salvation. If you don't believe me, bless God, Google it. But there's also Protestant churches that believe that. They believe in baby baptism that saves the baby. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That baby didn't need saving when that baby's a baby. But I'll tell you one thing. As soon as that baby comes to the age of accountability and knows, and sin enters, Paul says, you better get born again. You better get saved. You better get in. Now, so we come to chapter 18. Now, chapter 18 says, and I saw another angel. Now, the word another there is alios, and it means one of the same kind. I mean, it's. And I gave you this before. If I said to you, give me another Bible, and I used heteros, then you could just give me any kind of Bible you wanted to. But if I said, give me an alios biblios, what that would mean is you have to give me one just like mine with all the scribblings that you couldn't possibly read, but I can. But you have to give me one identical to it. Well, that's the word here. So it's another angel just like the angel in chapter 17. And this angel, it says, hath great power. And not only has this angel got great power, it says the whole earth was lightened with his glory. Now, you say, well, boy, that I don't understand that. Well, think for a minute. Moses goes up on the mountain in front of the burning bush. Now, he's not up there long. I mean, when you compare an angel being in eternity, Moses wasn't there long. But when Moses come down, Moses had to do something. Moses had to put a veil over his face because his face was shining too much and the people couldn't stand to look. Now, that's just a short time in the presence of God, folks. This angel been in the presence of God. So when it says the whole earth was lightened, listen, it's like an LED light. Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I got a basement in my house, and we had some fluorescent lights down there. They couldn't see a thing, hardly. I mean, couldn't see much at all. And somebody said, well, won't you put some LEDs in there? Well, I put some LED fluorescents in there. Boy, it looked like, my goodness gracious. I mean, I had to turn them off. The whole town was coming down there wanting to know what the light was. The people up in space were saying, what is that? No, I'm just kidding about that. Just kidding about this. But here this angel, and he lit up the whole earth with his glory. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful in the presence of God? Oh, boy, it's going to be wonderful. And then not only has he got all this power, he's got this proclamation. And he comes down and he's got this proclamation. And he says with a loud and a strong voice, it says, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and demons and foul birds. In other words, this world, folks, has got to the place where the antediluvian world was. The imaginations of their heart were evil continuously. This world is getting there fast now. This world's getting... Listen, anybody ever seen an hourglass? Have you ever turned the hourglass over? Have you ever noticed how it, when it starts, it's sort of slow? But as more sand or sugar or whatever you got in the hourglass comes out, it gets faster. You say, I thought it was an hour. I don't know. I've never timed one. Just telling you what happens. The hourglass has been turned over, folks. The sand is coming out. And the Bible says this, behold, I come quickly. Do you know what happens when the sand gets towards the end? There's more air in the top. And what it does, it forces the sand faster. It gets faster. Try it if you don't believe me. It gets faster. Well, this angel is proclaiming, and he's saying, listen, this place has just become so polluted and so corrupt. And then we come to the next verse, and he tells you more about that corruption. He says this. He says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. In other words, this union that the world had with Satan and his kingdom has come to fruition. Totally rotten. That's why it's falling. Notice the past tense there. Babylon the Great is fallen. Is. In case you missed that first time, he's going to tell you again. In case you're in that city. In case you're in that system. In case you're a part of that kingdom. He's saying, listen, it's falling. It's going to fall. It's already fallen. In God's, listen, when God's, getting hung up here. When God says something's going to fall, it's already failed. It may not have occurred yet, but it's not going to not happen. I can assure you one thing. One day, folks, this world is going down. But you know the, I tell you what, it's like that song I sing where I get to go and I can't hardly stop. In the middle of this proclamation, I mean, right as he's getting ready to land in on this proclamation of how this world's going down, you get the plea. What a God. What a God. What a merciful, gracious, loving God. It's almost like he tells God, it says, I hear this voice from heaven. I know it's not an angel, bless God. I know it's the voice of God because he says, come out of her, my people. You say, well, he's talking to saved people. No, he's not. Listen, everybody in this world is his people. He created every one of them. But it's not good enough to be his people. You got to be his children. That's why he says you got to be born again. Listen, just being in this world is not good enough. We're not all children of God, folks. Unless you're in Christ Jesus, you're not a child of God. You're the people of God, but you're not a child of God. But his plea is this, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, nor receive of her plagues. What does that tell you? That tells you just exactly what he said in Romans. For the wages of sin is death. The only way out. Huh? Wait a minute. I thought you had the answer. Oh, God. Y'all ain't worth 5 cents. I'm going to have to go all the way back. The only way out. Oh, God, y'all have already. It's so frustrating. The only way out is to get in. Who said that? Well, hey, you got to say it where I can hear it. I'm supposed to wear 2 hearing aids. And I'm screaming. Listen, the only way out is to get in. And he says, come out. Well, if he's saying come out, he's got to be offering a way in. Right? He says, come out of her, my people, and don't be partakers of her sins, because the wages of the sin is death. But then it says, come on in, sweetheart. He says this, he says, for her sins. I want you to think about this now. Oh, bless your heart, darling. Oh, Herman, Homer ought to, man ought to, take you out and wire you out.
Why? He's my
I thought he was the one that did that.
I'm still living.
I'm still. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Good to see you. Anybody know where it was?
Only way out.
It's to get in, brother. He says that you receive not her plagues. What does that tell you? That says, bless God, if you're in your sin, you're going to get the plagues. Remember what plagues mean? I gave you that word. Remember what it means in the Greek? I knew you would know. I'll tell you anyway. Pounding. A pounding. You ever, when we were growing up, some of you, tough enough. I was never tough enough. But some of you, probably tough enough, but you said, I'm going to give you a beating. Right? I'm going to give you a beating you'll never forget. Now, my dad used to say that, bless God, and he could do it. I'm going to give you a whipping, a beating, a pounding. Well, that's what the plagues are. God's going to pound you. He says, now you come out. If you'll get out, I'll make you a way in. And you can get rid of the sin. And if you get rid of the sin, what else do you get rid of? Thank you, brother. Who said that? Thank you, brother. You get rid of the pound. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you are free from the penalty of sin. You're free from the power of sin. And one day, you'll be free from the presence of sin. because God says so. So then he says, the reason for this, because that next word is for, and it means because. He says, for this express reason, for her sins have reached unto heaven. You think about that. How high is it to heaven, honey? It's a long way. That's how high the sins of God. You say, boy, that's bad. Yep, but that's good. For where sin doth abound. Grace doth much more abound, bless God. Let me tell you something. I don't care how high your sins are this morning. If you want to come to Christ, His grace is higher. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't come to Him, you're going to get a beating, a pounding that you'll never forget, because you're going to take it forever. And their smoke of their torment, remember that verse? And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for several years. Yeah, forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh, that's 19. We've not got there yet, have we? Oh, yes, we have, bless God. I told you. Listen, if you're saved this morning, you're not in 16. You're not in 17. You're not in 18. Anybody ever play? Y'all ain't helping me at all. Anybody ever play Monopoly? I loved Monopoly. I always wanted the little car, but I never got it. I always got stuck that little hat. But you know what I like most about Monopoly? No. No. Thank you, brother. Listen, when you had to get out of jail free card, you could take chances. Because when you got that one, it says, go directly to jail and do not pass go. And there to jail you went. And you say, yeah, but I got to get out of jail free card. Oh, if you know Christ this morning, you got to get out jail free. Oh, no. You want to teach this or you want me to? That's the way to blow my punchline. Thanks a lot. I've worked all week. Oh, no, brother, it's not get out of jail. It's get out of hell. And you took it. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Now, all you got to do is read 18. And it just gives you a litany. A litany of things that this world is craving. Riches. You say, Tom, I'm poor in Job's turkey. Why are you talking about riches? I don't care if you are poor in Job's turkey. The flesh wants riches, my friend. Huh? Hey, don't tell me it don't. I know it does. Listen, all these things that he lists here, it's not wrong to have them. It's wrong to want them more than you want him. That's their sin. That's the sin of this world. Remember, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, if all you think about is what this world can give you, you're in the wrong place. You in 17 and 18, and you'll never see 19 unless you. Y'all picking it up. Well, here's what it says, and then I'm done. You say, Tom, you didn't read anything. Well, there's no need for me to read this litany. I just told you. It's everything that you can imagine. First of all, it's talking about precious metals. Gold and silver. It's talking about precious stones, pearls, those kind of things. And then it's talking about fine flour and wheat. And then it talks about kings. And what are they doing the whole time? Well, you can read it for yourself, but I'll tell you what it says. It says the whole time they're standing afar off, wailing, weeping. Why? Not for themselves. for the city. They see it going down. It is going down, folks. And they're going to see it going down. And they're going to know that all hope is gone. And if you don't think they're going to be weeping and wailing and crying and groaning and moaning, you're mistaken. They are. Because God says they are. But I want to read to you the end. And this, and I'm done. I promise. I'm almost done. Give me just a minute. I know I went long today, but that's okay. Here's the sad part. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpets shall not be heard at all in thee. No craftsman or whatsoever craft shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries, pharmakeia, drugs. Read it for yourself. Drugs. Druggists. I'm not talking about your Walgreens druggists now. I'm talking about this world has got their mind all fouled up like their own drugs. Were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Listen, this is a spiritual thing. No more shall the bridegroom, who's the bridegroom? No more shall the bride, who's the bride? The church. Won't be heard anymore. Won't be any Tom standing up begging, pleading, crying, broken. No more, you won't hear that. All you're going to hear now is bad. You did good. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see all of you. Good to see anybody. Come on in.